Dubai Eye
103.8. But you know what the final hour of the final show of the week here on The Agenda is all about? It's making tracks when we welcome into the studio leaders in their respective industries, those that have made tracks towards the UAE, towards Dubai, that have set up their businesses here and helped to impact and help and influence the life of tens of thousands here in the region over the years, and hopefully will continue to do so for many years to come. Today, we turn our attention to the world of business, the world of entrepreneurs, the world of mums as well, as we welcome into the studio an individual who's proven to be one of the Middle East's most prominent female entrepreneurs. She grew her business, Mum's World, from a business plan on paper to an enviable brand exposed to at least 2.5 million mothers across the region in just 7 years. Founded back in 2011, Mum's World has pioneered a gold standard e-commerce shopping experience for all things mother, baby and child here in the region. To that end, she has garnered numerous nominations, recognitions and awards, no fewer than 80 awards throughout her career, testament to her hard work and leadership skills. She's amongst the top two Forbes women creating impact in the region, was voted amongst the 100 most powerful Arab women, Forbes top 10 Arab women 2017 and 2018, world's 100 most powerful Arabs, Generation Next from the Arabian Business, and she was also voted SME Executive of the Year 3 years in the row. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio to do Making Tracks today the founder and CEO of Mum's World. It is the one and only Mona Attiah. Mona, thanks very much indeed for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
No, really kind of you to take time out of what is an extraordinary busy schedule for you. Twas ever such, or were there days when here in the UAE when the schedule wasn't as busy as it is today?
My schedule is always busy, 365 days a year. Yes.
And is that something that speaks volumes of your character, do you think, Mona? Are you an individual that likes to be busy, to stay busy?
I think it is part and parcel of my character. I've always loved to do things like to create, to contribute. So very much part of my DNA.
You have been here since the year 2000, correct me if I'm
correct.
Wrong. Yeah, so you've been in Dubai since the year 2000. You and I were just reflecting on the view here from our studio and how much the place has changed. It's changed physically, but in the 19 years that you've been here, has the culture of the place changed? Has the character of the city changed?
So the beauty of Dubai, particularly for an entrepreneur, is you actually feel the DNA of entrepreneurship in Dubai. The fast, not only evolution of the ecosystem here, but the revolution of the ecosystem here is testament to entrepreneurship, to having a vision that's seemingly impossible at first and making it happen. So in the early days, when we heard about all the dreams and aspirations of Dubai, many of them were seemingly unreachable, but we, before our very eyes, saw it come to life. So it's wonderful being here. We turn to our children oftentimes and say, look how far Dubai has come. And entrepreneurs, I think, fit in that DNA very well.
Listen, it's so kind of you to join us here to talk to about the journey to Dubai and, of course, where Mum's World. And, of course, Bait.com. I haven't mentioned Bait as well, which, of course, you've been so instrumental in bringing to the region in recent years. But also, I just want to sort of tap into you and the character behind the influence that is Mona Attiah. And you're very much an individual woman of the region as well. Born and raised in Kuwait, is that
correct?
Right? Yeah, yes. And fond times, those early years in Kuwait, do you remember them fondly?
Sure. My childhood years were very happy. I'm the second of five siblings. We were raised as a Palestinian expats in the GCC with a tremendous emphasis from the family on education, on sports and on contribution. Mm. So from a very early age, we put a lot of emphasis on our academics, on being participating members of our community and in sports. I was always very, very competitive. For me, you either come first or you don't come at all. So that was, again, part of the challenge and the the beauty of our youth.
Yeah. And are those sort of values that you've carried through from being a child of parents to a parent of child as of children as well? Is that something that you still believe? Do you feel that you were influenced as a child from your parents and your family and your community in the values that you try and instill in your children today?
Sure. So as Palestinian expats living in Kuwait, we were taught very early on that hard work was invaluable. Mm. Nothing beats hard work. That you always had to go 110%. That you had to contribute to the community you were part of, and most importantly, if you had talent, that it was your duty to develop them and to grow these talents. Mm. Otherwise, they will disappear. So certainly, these are values that we instill in our children: integrity of hard work, integrity of honesty, commitment and contribution.
You mentioned there, and you alluded to giving 100% to everything, whether it be academics, whether it be sports, whether it be the community, whether it be family. Were you a natural student? Did you enjoy? Did you revel in that sort of school environment?
So from a very early age, we were held accountable to what we did. Yeah. And most importantly, we were taught that what we did was for ourselves, not for others. So I'll give you an example. I used to compete in horse jumping competitions every weekend. And we were talking about this as a family the other day. In my horse jumping competitions, I used to go on Friday mornings, compete, and then come home with my little trophy and showcase it to the family. And not once back then did my parents come to the horse jumping competitions, just because they were busy doing other things. So when I reflected on that, the reality is that actually taught us that what we did, the trophy that we got, the participation, the trying to be better, was actually for us, not for anyone else. And this is something that I think we're seeing more and more of in our youth of today, wanting to do things to showcase, almost show off what you learn, or show off what you deliver. The reality is it's all about you as a human being. How do you grow? How do you continue to learn as a human being? And how do you make a mark that is impactful and is important? And this has really driven me throughout my life, in all my jobs, in my startup ventures, in my athletics. It's all been about, am I doing better today than I did yesterday? Am I learning more today than I did yesterday? And am I contributing more for myself?
Achieved so much in the business environment, achieved so much academically. You mentioned there your passion for all things sports and that competitive edge that you have as well. What was or what is your sport as well? What put you in that special place, that happy place?
So I used to horse ride daily. I used to, I still do. I love horses. I used to jump. And I was a fast runner. So I was in the athletic team in school. So I was a track and field competitor. Sports, I dabble in everything, but these were my two passions. Now, I have to say, though, fast forward today, inundated with the entrepreneurial world, I have to say that I have definitely stepped back many, many steps in my passions.
Great to have you with us here. Mona Tyre is subject of Making Tracks today. We're going to be talking about her formative years in just a few minutes' time, from education to further education and early work experience. But as if it's a challenge enough to ask our special guests to speak about themselves for an hour, we also ask them to pick a couple of songs that sort of mark the way. Now, you've labored over these, Mona. You've had a good old think about them. What's your first song and why?
So when I wrote these down, my children cringed and they said, how cheesy, please don't share this. But nonetheless, I will. So the Chaka Khan's Ain't Nobody is a song that's been redone many years later. It's really just a happy song, a song reminiscent of, you know, youth and happiness and liveliness, etc. So it's just a feel-good song.
Mona Tyre is on Making Tracks this morning. She is the founder and CEO of Mum's World. She's talking about her journey towards the UAE. We continue that journey next. You're listening to Making Tracks here on Dubai I-103.8 on The Agenda. We've got Mona Attia in studio with us. Mona is one of the most sought-after voices, influencers when it comes to the world of entrepreneurism here in the region, and with good reason as well. She's the founder and CEO of Mum's World, the Middle East's largest online shopping site for mother, baby and child products. We will, of course, get on to the Mum's World story in just a little while, but we're currently sort of tracking or marking tracks with Mona on her progress through life and to arriving here in the UAE. We talked a little bit, Mona, about early school memories, etc. And in terms of your school career or life through school, is it something that you sort of you grew into throughout? Is it something that you worked out what you liked? Did you know what you wanted to do from a young age?
I wanted to be a doctor at a young age. I was always an academic student in the sense that I always worked hard in school and outside school. So that was part of my my DNA. So I did well in school. When I graduated from college, my first job was in the United States with Procter & Gamble. I had just hit my 20th birthday, so I was very young. I was fresh out of my undergrad. I did a few years at P&G. I loved every moment. And then after Procter & Gamble, I moved to Johnson & Johnson, first in the region, and then went back to an international project in Europe. So I was based out of Zurich in Switzerland. So again, career was a traditional FMCG career where I learned a lot. I was exposed to a lot of very smart people. And I continued to understand what I liked and what I was good at, etc. You asked me earlier what I wanted to be early on. Yes, I wanted to be a doctor as a child simply because I've always been kind of driven by impact stories, even as a child. I've always been interested in being involved in things that were important enough. And so as a doctor, for me, I felt that was the most noble profession. In college, I discovered that doctors are not, although they are a very noble profession, they are not the most noble, or they are not the only noble direction you can take. And that's where I found my interest. And I found my interest in business and economics.
And in terms of your studies, where did you do your end up doing your studies?
In the US, in Boston.
In Boston, okay. So again, a very international perspective as well, having grown up here in the GCC, in the region, as well. Did you sort of revel in that international travel and the influences, the eye-opening situations that it opened up to you?
100%. Yeah. So I learned different things in different markets and with different organizations. With P&G, I was part of a very structured organization with very clear ways of doing things. And it was a school. It was a learning ground for me to learn the fundamentals and the basics of business building. Post P&G, when I moved to J&J was more entrepreneurial. I was then in Europe, so I shifted from driving leading businesses in the United States to now suddenly launching and relaunching new businesses across Europe. And in Europe is a very diverse demographic and psychographic. So now I was exposed to how do you build businesses that are global? How do you build businesses that reach different demographics and psychographics? And how do you build them from scratch? So that was a fantastic learning ground. And I think the combination of P&G and J&J really gave me the tools that I took on when I became an entrepreneur to starting things from really nothing, and how do you tailor it to different markets and different consumers.
So with that beginning and very successful career being built up by you, with all that international experience, when did the UAE appear on the horizon?
Great. So I was at J&J based out of Zurich in 2000. And I got a call from my brother who had just exited one of his businesses. He's a serial entrepreneur as well, and asked me if I'd like to join him in the venture. And it was basically revolutionizing recruitment in the Arab world. Back then, connecting job seekers and employers was very difficult. Internet was very low, 2% of the penetration. So it was a very difficult time and a bit suicidal to launch an entrepreneurial venture at a time when the ecosystem wasn't ready. But the idea of bringing back fantastic talent to the region talent that had left the region because of perceived lack of opportunity, bringing them back by creating seamless flows, information and communication flows between employers and job seekers was very compelling. And I was one of these people. I was one of the people who left because of perceived lack of opportunity. So we set out to change that. So I left my very cushy, very comfortable career, came back to the region with a single vision of creating regional impact and changing lives positively if we can. Mm.
We're going to move on to the coming to Dubai moment in just a few moments' time. But I'm going to ask you to explain song number two for us today on the show. You've been asked to select four songs. You've gone with the script second up. Why?
This is a song that I heard my twin boys sing a few years ago. They were 13 years old. Mm. And they were singing it in their school concert in the choir. And one of my boys actually did a solo. And I remember listening to it. And I had heard this song before. But when they sang it, it resonated with tremendous impact. And basically, the song is about nothing is unreachable. You could be whatever you want to be as long as you work hard, you do things for the right reason, and you keep on going down that path. And the song is about that. The song is about, you know, again, everything is reachable. And when my children sang it, I reminded them afterwards, I said, you just sang essentially your message to your life. And if you follow that, you'll be okay.
It is Munra Taher's second song. It is Hall of Fame by The Script.
You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you get the gold, breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name, cause there's gonna be a day when you're standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Really appreciate all the kind comments that are coming in from listeners who are listening in to Making Tracks this Thursday afternoon. We're in conversation with Munra Taher, the CEO and founder of Mum's World, and mumsworld.com is live here in studio with me. So we've made tracks to 2000, the year 2000. Paint a picture for me, if you can, Munra, of the Dubai that you touched down in 2000.
The Dubai that I touched down on in 2000, it was a very safe, comfortable, family-oriented land of opportunity. Mm. it really was a gem. I had been all around the world, in the US, in Europe, in different parts of the region. And for us, Dubai was a safe haven where things were possible. Mm. And as an entrepreneur in 2000, that was the time of DIC and DMC, yeah. Where entrepreneurs were invited to bring their ideas to life. So we were able to set up our first business in 2000, which was Bait.com, quite seamlessly and quite cost effectively. So we set up beautiful offices in Dubai Internet City overlooking the water. The infrastructure was able to be set up fairly quickly. Again, as I mentioned earlier, because the DNA of Dubai was encouraging for entrepreneurship, we had a lot of enablers that allowed us to move faster. Mm. So that was in 2000.
Did you feel that then, though? I mean, we talk a lot, and you are a great voice piece for the entrepreneurial spirit here. But did you feel that back in 2000, or is it something that has grown over the years?
We really did. Mm. It has certainly grown and evolved to a much greater better stage today, but we did feel it back then. Now, keep in mind, back then, so we were a technology business that was service-driven, which is very, very different than today. We're an e-commerce business, which is ecosystem-driven. It's very, very different. So the enablers of back then wouldn't have helped Mum's World today.
Yeah.
So things have evolved. But certainly the DNA of entrepreneurship and encouraging entrepreneurship was there from day one.
Let's talk Mum's World if we can, because I mentioned there that you are co-founder of Bait.com, which has had a huge impact and success here in the region. But you are often introduced as the CEO and founder of Mum's World and Mum'sWorld.com with good reason. Where did that germ of inspiration come from?
Sure. So I was an entrepreneur, and as an entrepreneur, you believe that you're fairly resourceful and you can figure out challenges to a lot of your problems. The reality is I found myself as a mother of three children, and I was for the first time in a very long time stuck. I discovered very early on that mothers were not empowered to make the best choices for their children in this part of the world for many reasons. The first reason was lack of choice of quality products for children from the age zero to the preteen. Prices in this part of the world are very high for the baby and mother segment. Third is information about these products was limited. Arabic information was non-existent. Here's a consumer who is risk-averse, information-hungry, and she lives to basically make the best decisions for her family. And if she doesn't have information, she's not empowered to make these best decisions. So information was lacking. The fourth was community. So as a mother, you want to tap into like-minded mothers, similar mothers who can guide you, who can support you, who can add perspectives that can help you make better decisions. And last but not least was the access to these products. We are in a very proliferated, very fragmented region. When you want to find a product, you don't know where to look. Mm. There are malls, there are shops. It's hugely proliferated. So finding what you want when you want it was very important. So we set out to solve these problems. So in 2011, the business plan was written with a vision of creating this one-stop shop for mothers to feel empowered that they're making the best choices for their family by giving them, one, access to the widest choice of quality products from around the world, niche products, bestsellers, award winners, things that they didn't know existed that we could tap into. Best everyday low prices. This is very, very important. Raising children is not cheap. It's a very expensive exercise. And the reality is this part of the world has many fluctuations up and down. As a consumer, when you see products being sold for 50% less, you wonder, wait a minute, have I been paying an inflated price the rest of the time? So for us, it was very important to offer transparent everyday low prices to our customer. The third was content in Arabic and English. We are, this is an Arabic region. We launched our Arabic app before everybody else. We're actually the only Arabic app for mothers in the region. We were fully bilingual within 2 months of launch. So everything is Arabic and English, fully bilingual. The fourth is community. We have 2.5 million mothers who are part of our community, who engage, who contribute, who talk to each other and support each other. And last but not least, we ship to 20 countries across the region. In the UAE, we ship from, you know, same day all the way up to 3 days, depending on what you're ordering. And across the region, we ship in 5 days. So we have, and we will continue to improve that. And we will offer services that allow a mother to have this ultimate journey to empower her to be the best mom, essentially, she can be.
The Mum's World influence continues to grow from those four original employees back in 2011 to the millions that are now impacted to this day. In fact, we're going to be talking about the present and the future in just a few moments' time. We've got to make time during the conversation for the songs, though. And Mona has been very kind enough to select her third song. And we're going to up the tempo a little here. Yeah?
So this song is Titanium. It's a song that's reflective of the entrepreneurial journey when you are struck down a million times, when you are told no, and you can't do it, and it's not possible, and the people and the ecosystem is not ready. And in spite of all that, you get up in the morning and you keep on moving forward. And you despite all the knocks, you get up and try again and try again. That's the story of the entrepreneur.
Ain't it just? David Guetta featuring Sia. This is Titanium, and this is a great song for the week. And it's also the third selection of our Making Tracks. Our guest here today, Mona Attaya. More next. Shoot me down, but I get up. And Riz are our subject on making tracks. We've been talking about the growth, the extraordinary growth of Mum's World since it launched officially back in 2011. In terms of the numbers that you're seeing now, the network that you've been able to build, I mean, I mentioned the four employees. I take it you've taken on more staff since then.
So we are just under 200 staff now. We have offices in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia. We have staff in Jordan and some in Egypt. So we are growing exponentially. We have a community of over 2.5 million mothers, which makes us the largest community of mothers in the Arab world. And we're growing that this year exponentially. We have over 250,000 products on our website, which makes us the deepest catalog of authentic products sourced directly from the brands. And we have, out of these, we have about 25,000 that are exclusively found on Mum's World. So Mum's World has really become the go-to destination for brands from around the world who want to reach the regional consumer. We add about 3,000 new SKUs to our website every single month. So new mothers and seasoned mothers up to the age of the preteen can keep on coming back to the website and see new things added all the time.
As a serial entrepreneur, your good self is, and as being an early adopter, you mentioned there as an early adopter of e-commerce through Mum's World, when you sort of sit there in 2019, does it fill you with optimism, the opportunities that lay ahead and where you can take this business and other ventures? Or are you a little bit sort of, where do we go next because technology and things are moving so quickly?
Sure. So look, the pace of change due to technology globally and regionally is faster than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So we are seeing innovation and disruption happening before our eyes daily. That's the reality. And if you can innovate and disrupt faster and better than others, then there's only one way to go, and that's vertically north. With businesses, the beauty of technology is it allows you to take unmet consumer needs, and they have to be real unmet consumer needs, find a solution for them, and then allow technology to be your enabler to bring that solution to life. Mm. And this is really what we've done with Mum's World. Mum's World was about, again, empowering mothers to make the most informed decisions. How do we do that through technology? And that's kind of the path we went down, through building community, through building catalog, through building price intelligence, etc.
Let's reflect if we can, because obviously we've talked about that extraordinary growth of the business, the professional side of things. You sound like personally as a family that you're in a really good place here in Dubai as well. Mum's World by name, that's the name of the business, but you're a mum as well. How do you balance? How do you balance the time?
Sure. Balance is challenging. You daily try to find equilibrium. you daily shift priorities. So one day equilibrium, or one day your priority will be to your employees. The next day it will be to your children because they have exams or rugby matches that you have to be with them at. Another day it will be to your spouse or your family. So you're constantly juggling. And at the end of the week, what I do is I reevaluate. And I say, this week, did I reach equilibrium? Did I give every aspect of my life equal due? And you don't always reach that equilibrium. Insofar that those stakeholders around you are comfortable and that they know what you're doing and they know where your focus is, that's okay. So for me, my husband is very supportive. My children have been part of my entrepreneurial journey. That's not to say that there hasn't been compromises, but my children come to the office a lot. They've seen us ride the business plan. They've seen how we are obsessed with our customer. And all of these are things that translate to how they live their lives.
Mona, I've really enjoyed our chat. Thank you so much indeed for agreeing to do it. I hope you've taken something from it and enjoyed it as well. A lot of inspirational messages coming from you. I encourage people to find out more by getting themselves onto mumsworld.com. I'm assuming there is more to come from Mona Attiah and Mum's World.
We are expanding very fast. So we are expanding in North African markets as well. We're growing our community. There are a lot of services and offerings for mothers that's coming. So lots of exciting things happening this year.
There is one more song to play before we say farewell. What's your final song of the morning?
So Norah Jones is one of my favorites. Sunrise is very much a weekend song. We have music playing in our house all the time. And Norah Jones is certainly one of our favorites.
It's a nice way to take us to the weekend. It's a nice way to wrap up Making Tracks this week. From all of us here at The Agenda on Dubai Eye, to you, Mona Attiah, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much indeed to all those that have tuned in. Thanks for your nice comments as well. Do keep them coming in. We have got the news at 1 o'clock after this from Norah Jones. See you next week.
Does the afternoon's already coming on? And I said, who?
Dubai Eye 103.8.